Welcome to the Unmasked Podcast! Today, homies, we've got the brilliant, the wonderful, the insanely creative Nomad!
Hello! That was a lot of adjectives and a lot of energy! That was awesome!
Hey, I kind of got that. I don't know how or why, but it's there.
Yeah, no worries. Good to have energy, Jesus.
People have called me the equivalent of a human energy drink, I think.
Dude, that's great. You're just
yeah, it's great.
You're just a monster incarnate. I love that.
Seriously. Oh, goodness.
That's so great.
How you doing today, Nomad?
I'm doing pretty good. I don't have as much energy as you, but I'm still hyped to be here. This is freaking sick.
Hey, and that is entirely okay. It is definitely not a requirement to be that energetic. Trust me. Oh, goodness.
Completely get that.
And I probably will chill a little bit once we get to the conversations, but for the start, I'm no like, worries. Fuck yeah, let's get this done, let's go!
All the excitement, send it!
Yes! but to kind of get things underway, we're gonna start the conversation off with when and why did you start creating content?
Oh, okay, I get to tell this story, so
yes.
This story is, it's actually called the 4 a.m. story for
Yo?
The people around me. Yeah, this is a genuine thing. So, about, like, over 2 years ago, this is back in, like, 2021, I want to say? Like, 2020, 2021, a birthday had come by, and some friends of mine, super sweet, they had bought me Minecraft on my PC.
Oh, yeah.
I had never had it before. I'd only ever had it on an Xbox and Minecraft Pocket Edition, which I still have on my phone. I'm so happy about that. But then we were messing around one day, and then somebody in the call we were in just, like, shouted at one point, like, hey, you should do streaming. To which I went, no way. I could never. There's no possible way I would ever do that. But then another friend of mine piped up was like, oh, well, if you do it, I'll do it too. It's like, oh, okay. This sounds like fun. And then, where the story gets its name, at 4 a.m. on a Monday, when I had to wake up for school at 6:30 a.m., so 2.5 hours later, I was just laying, like, I think on my floor, on my carpet, just staring at the ceiling, thinking
That's
about it.
Vibe.
And at one point I was like, you know, I could do the whole streaming thing. So at 4 a.m. on a Monday, running on no sleep, I created the entirety of my brand.
Yo!
The entirety of my first ever brand stuff was created at 4 a.m. on a Monday, over two years ago now. And then, like, I want to say 3 days later was my first stream.
Yo!
So yeah, that's the 4 a.m. story. Craziness.
That's cool as shit!
Thank you!
Wow! Sorry!
No, yeah, but that's, like, it's where I came up with the name, my first set of branding stuff, because I technically have gone through a rebrand, but all the fun things.
Yo, so how did you come up with your name? Okay.
Originally, it was because I had loved the idea of taking a word and changing the definition to not mean what it means, but to mean, like, a person. Like, there are content creators, I won't name the names at the moment, but if you think of, their names are technically words. There's one that I'll point out because he's cool. Corpse Husband. A corpse is not a person, it's a dead person. However, if you say the word corpse, odds are some people are going to immediately think, oh, you mean the content creator, and not a dead body. So I was thinking about it, and I was like, I want to be like that too. So I was like, you know what? I like traveling, I like doing things, I'm going to be Nomad. But Nomad was taken on Twitch. So I sat to myself, and I was like, well, I mean, I'm, like, I'm gonna be a nomad in the world. What if I'm, like, of the, like, nomad of the world, and people can just call me Nomad? And that wasn't taken on Twitch.
Yo!
That's kind of where that came from.
So, when you were kind of deciding, that you were going to start making content, either between the point where you're like, yeah, that sounds kind of like a cool idea, or that 4 a.m. session of making the brand and making the name, how did you choose or kind of, like, go about deciding what kinds of content you wanted to make?
Originally, it was because I've always been a person who's wanted to, like, put out stories. I'm a big writer myself. Like, it's something I've been known for since I was, like, a little kid. Like, writing just endless stories. And originally, I guess this was around the time as well, gotta remember, the Dream SMP was a huge thing back then.
Yep.
And so that was a lot of inspiration for a lot of different things. So the friend group I was in happened to be really into that. And they were like, yeah, let's do our own SMP. Let's have our own story. And I was like, okay, maybe I could stream it. I can kind of build. I can kind of do things. I'm good at talking to myself sometimes.
Hell yeah.
And so it started with just being like, yeah, I'm gonna do Minecraft. I'm gonna do like whatever my computer at the time, by the way, which was a Dell laptop that did not run for more than an hour straight
Oh
before blacking out my stream.
no.
Yeah, every hour on the hour, my stream would cut, and then I would have to start again.
Oh,
But
yikes.
it was the only game I could really run on my computer at the time being. So it was a lot of Minecraft early days. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a really cool start. And that's awesome that you were able to like have that friend group that was like, "Yeah, we'll jump into this. That sounds cool. Let's
For
do
sure.
that."
They
So,
were great.
would you say that storytelling and everything of that nature or building are kind of like some of your favorite parts about content creation?
My favorite part, definitely the storytelling for sure. I think that that's the one thing that hasn't changed as I've continued streaming. It's always been about telling a story, whether it's the story of the game, a story I create, a story that's happened to me because I just have random things happen to me that I like sharing with people. But it's always been about stories. It's always been about I had this in my bio once at one point, but just another streamer hoping to make one person smile every day.
Aww.
That was my motto for every day of streaming. It was make one person smile or laugh every day. So
That's
yeah, that
cute
was
as
my big thing too.
hell.
Thank
That's
you.
really sweet.
It was a big thing for me.
Heck yeah. Ah, that's just really cool. What would you say has been like one of your favorite stories that you've written so far and like told through
Ooh.
content creation?
Written and told through content creation. Oh, that's a tough one. See, I think I have two that are tied technically.
Let's
I
hear
think
them.
my first ever SMP and Nations have to be my two favorite right now. Granted, another project that we're both in, Fables, hasn't
Yeah.
really come to fruition just yet, so I'll have to wait and see if that one kind of debacles the rest of it. But the first ever SMP I was in, it was an SMP known as Memento SMP. And I had joined it, I want to say 2 to 3 months into streaming. I had no idea what I was doing. We had all like been, this was a group of people I'd never met. I knew nobody. And they were just like, okay, we're gonna figure out characters. I put myself down as an anti-hero and as somebody who was probably not gonna be super, super important. I then became the main protagonist.
Yo.
Accidentally. But it was a case of, while telling that story, I ended up adding layers upon layers to this character, which is actually coming back in Fables. But there
Oh.
was so much building on this character and so much being created, but it still kind of moved a different storyline in the main area and wasn't just like, oh, it's one character's story. This was one person's main story with other people telling their own and impacting their own. It was my first ever experience making a character and performing it, for lack of better words, on stream. And it went pretty well. I still have the like 12 different Google documents where like me and other people were like writing like, okay, yeah, this is this, and like documents that's like, hey, this is my character, here's some information that you might want to know, and like sending stuff out. But that was the first SMP that definitely sent stuff home. Nations, if that was kind of like the inspiration, the first one, Nations was where it solidified. Because that was the first experience of like really running something. That was really leading my own story, really coordinating, really making sure that things would go in a certain direction, and writing a story that wasn't about my character. Because, to be fair, Nations didn't have much of a story in the beginning. When it came to the ending, however,
It did.
another creator, Chaos Core, and I worked together to make that final story. We created the statues, we created the information, and all of that was based around this story that we had essentially created for just to have an ending. To have an ending that people would be satisfied with, for people to continue from. And it wasn't about any one of us. It was about all of us. It was about the world. And that was such a cool experience, getting to then see people like reacting to like the statues and the puzzles that we created, or like the different characters being like, oh yeah, like my character's gonna die here but come back this way, or like my character's gonna make it here but then fall to this. Like, it was so bizarre seeing the overarching become like branched off into people's stories. And it was a moment of like pride, because it was like, this is something I created, or like me and Chaos created, that everyone else can take apart and be like, yeah, this part I'm going to use for my stuff. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, it was super fun like being a part of that, I will say. Mm-hmm. like it was sad that Nations had ended, but the ending and like the creation of it and like being able to kind of like build up everything to that like final point was insane.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic and could not have asked for a better group. Like, we started with a huge group, you'll remember, but yeah. Then, like, at the very end, we had, like, maybe this, like, 20, 30 people, and we were the ones who really wanted to send the story home.
Yeah.
And it was so cool seeing everybody shine in their own way, whether it was just, like, being the soldier who's fighting the mobs, fighting off the mobs, or the tragic death at the very end, or, like, turning against the whole group. It was incredible. Could not have asked for a better group or a better group of friends, in all the states.
Yeah, seriously.
It was awesome.
It was very fun. And it was cool within that experience to be able to, like, get closer with those people, like, too. Because, like, at least from my, like, perspective with Nations, I didn't really know many people. But the ending was kind of what, like, helped introduce me to all of the awesome people a part of this project and, like, work together to create this kind of big bada-boom for the end. And it was just cool to be able to say that, like, hey, we did that, and we did that together.
Yeah, it was amazing, and I think the ending also, for those of us who stick around, like you said, it kind of also made us into a little friend group.
Yeah.
Like, we were the people that were always talking back and forth, like, yeah, we wanted to do this, or I can message this person. It was really, really cool. Could not have asked for a better group, and would not have gotten that if it weren't for this project.
That's true. Something else that I do kind of want to bring up or talk about was the fact that you were one of the leaders and writers for Nations. Kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, like, what was it like to be able to be in that kind of position and working with the other creators and, like, choosing different things and being able to say, like, oh, like, we could go this direction or this direction, and kind of, like, working as a whole on a project of that size. What was your experience with it?
Still feels unreal sometimes, knowing that I worked on managing a group of, like, almost 70 people, but I would not have changed it for the world. I still remember the day that I was brought in. It was after an event that Aragon and I happened to be in, and he was like, hey, can you call really quickly? It's like, yeah, sure. And he asked me if I wanted to join. And I was like, this is somebody I've maybe talked to twice, and they trust me. I'm gonna give this 110%. I joined in. I got to make my own nation, which was so bizarre, but it was really, really cool, because then I created all the characters, the storyline, had people be like, yeah, we want to do this. It was also really nerve-wracking, because I think a lot of us as well in that group have a little bit of that, like, introvert kind of thing. Like, we're good to talk to people that we might have already been introduced to. Anybody who's new is terrifying.
Right.
Which was a big thing to kind of, like, get over in the beginning. But it was a really interesting experience, and it allowed me to kind of showcase some stuff that I didn't think I could do. Like, managing a big group, like, orchestrating an ending like that. Heck, like, writing the ARG that introduced the whole thing. The thing on Twitter was originally, it was a compound idea. I was the first draft of the puzzles and a story. Of the puzzles and the letters. I still have the first drafts and everything. They were edited and weighed, freaking amazing, made the visuals for what they were supposed to look like. But it was really cool to see, like, this was something that, like, I've maybe done once before as, like, a personal project, and it didn't go too far yet. But seeing it kind of get to launch off and bring people in excited, immediately set up of, like, this is going to be a cool experience no matter what.
Yo. That's amazing!
It was really cool. Terrifying, but really, really cool.
Fair. So this was the largest project that you had done at the time?
Yeah, at the time, this is the largest one I've run myself. I've been a part of projects where I was, like, allowed to lead certain aspects. This is the first one where I was told, you are in charge.
Yo!
Which was really cool.
Yeah. So, would you say that a lot of the stuff that you learned and kind of took from working on Nations, you've kind of, like, carried over into a new project, Boxcraft?
Oh, for sure. I Well, I wouldn't be as where I am in Boxcraft if it weren't for Nations and being able to push that as far as we did. But then being able to lead Nations and being able to kind of like grow and change with the project, I think definitely gave insight as to first how to manage a giant group of people, how to talk to people, as well as how to work storylines so that it's not focused on one and everybody can do things, which in Boxcraft's new project being Fables, super, super helpful. As everyone's running their own story while there's an overarching one that me and the other admins are talking about, something that we're hoping to organize. But it's super cool.
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah, indeed.
So, would you say how has the writing kind of changed in terms of going from Nations to Boxcraft? Not trying to connect the two projects at all, but I mean like in terms of like what was the writing process like for the project of Nations, and then like how has it gone to the new project? How have things changed? Are things kind of similar in terms of like writing styles?
Yeah, for sure. Fable's writing stuff hasn't really kicked off just yet, or at least I haven't been able to talk with the other admins. I know one of them, being Chaos, has jumped forward full steam ahead with lore for like on his side and stuff like that. But as far as the writing process has gone, it went from being timid, which was the beginning of Nations and moving forward, into being confidence and ensuring things happen. Nations was very much a case of, at least on my behalf, in my nation being Decora, very much a case of this is my story. It can kind of change if we need to. Like, it's not a big deal if things get altered or like this, or this. So, very much a case of like kind of that unsure footing as being the never done this before, lack of confidence into Fables and the latter half of Nations, even. It's a case of, okay, this is what we're doing. It's gonna play out like this, like this, like this. Does anyone have any questions or comments? It's
Pack your
good. So it's
stuff,
a bit
let's
more,
go.
a little bit more of like the tight grip, but still with the room to communicate and kind of adjust if people have different ideas. But it's a bare case of now, like, we have the trunk of the tree, the base of the story. If you have ideas on where you want the branches to go, great. The base of the story is set. You cannot uproot the tree.
It will
Whereas any
die.
things will
Don't
get
uproot
uprooted.
the tree.
Do not uproot this
Don't
tree,
do
I swear to
it.
God.
Don't be the Wanceler. Don't do it. We'll get the
Do not
Lorax
ask yourself, how bad can I be? You will be very bad.
in here. Wait. Wait a minute. Didn't isn't that a Well, I'll cut this out just in case I can't say it. But isn't the Lorax a character in Fables?
Is he?
Someone made a character chart for Kermit.
Kermit, yeah, I don't think the Lorax, but I know Kermit for sure.
I might
Oh my
be.
god.
I'm looking in character bios.
Yeah,
I
no,
see
it's just
Kermit.
Kermit.
It's
Yeah, it's
just
just Kermit. I don't
Kermit.
think anyone else has brought in the Lorax.
Okay. Whoa.
I think that we have something worse than Lorax. We have Dondius. You will be banned from life if you do anything against him.
True. Oh God, and his character's like okay, I know in Minecraft it's a skin, but whenever I try to talk about it feels weird, so I try to say costume.
I get that.
It like their costume is kind of terrifying in a good way.
Which one, out of curiosity?
I think it's the character the Destroyer.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
Donville. Yep.
Yeah, that
That
one.
one. Fun fact, I made that skin.
Yo! Is freaky, it's cool.
Yeah, that was the point. Don Diaz had an issue to reach out to me because that's another thing. I love making skins. I have made every skin I've ever used. I've made skins for events. I've made skins for other people. But every skin I've ever worn is a skin that I have made. But Don reached out to me after I mentioned, like, yeah, I make skins. He was like, hey, I need this, this, this. I was like, okay, how much creative freedom do I have to go with this? He went, yes. I went, perfect. And so
Yes.
I kind of blank slated it and created the whole thing and then sent it to him, and he was like, this is perfect. I was like, great. So that guy's just there now.
This
But
thing exists
yeah,
from these two hands.
it's from these hands we make this thing.
Yes.
But yeah, one of my favorite skins that I ever created, actually, I know this is slightly off topic,
Oh no,
was
go for
for
it.
a it was an event called Trading Post, run by this group known as Race Station. And it was myself, Rice in Real Time, and Tay Lamau, two other streamers. And I was in charge of making skins for us. We were the Red Striders. And so in my head, I went, Hey guys, can I make us skins where we're just carrying a Strider on our head? And they went, okay, sure. So I did. And it is my favorite skin to date. Let me see if actually, I'll see if I can pull it up. I think I have it on name. Let's see.
That
If I can
sounds
pull it up, I will literally take a screenshot and send
cute.
it to you right now.
Oh my
Yep, there he
god.
is.
What are,
Let me copy image.
Straighter boy.
There you go. I
Oh
did that with mine and the other two skins. So there are several screenshots of us crouching, so it looks like the Striders are sitting on different things. It's the funniest thing in the world. We ended up winning that event too, was the funny part. But it was
that
good.
is
These are by far one of my favorite
amazing.
skins I've ever made. They're so good.
Understandably, dude, this looks amazing.
Thank you so much.
Oh
This
my
is freaking
god.
great.
Wait, so how long have you been making skins for?
I want to say at least a year. I've been doing it for a while now.
Dang!
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Got to experiment with a bunch of random cool stuff, figure out what I wanted to recolor. It's tough being colorblind and doing it, but I'm still doing it and figuring out my way around it.
Oh!
But yeah.
That, I can understand how that would be a little tricky.
Yeah, definitely. But it ends up working out. Plus, I can tell the difference if my monitor is bright enough. Luckily, I'm not
Dang.
like horrendously colorblind to the point where it like inhibits me from seeing the colors that I have issues with because I'm red green. But every once in a while, if my monitor is too dark or if the pixels are kind of weird, I won't be able to tell the difference in color. And so that'll cause a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise it's worked out. Like I can tell my monitor is bright enough, plus I have enough light in my room that I can tell the difference in the colors of the Strider. If it was darker, I'd maybe only be able to tell like two shades.
Oh, that would
Yeah.
be low definition meat
Would
cube.
be low def meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
I'm
I'm
gonna
gonna
cut
call him Meatloaf now. Any like anytime I run up on him in game, I'm like meat cube.
Hello, meat cube.
Hello, meat cube. Hope you are well. I don't have saddle. Have good day.
Have good day, meat cube. Enjoy walk.
Enjoy fire pit.
Sorry, I'm late. I had to go walk my meat cube.
Okay, just one last side note. I am awful in the Nether, but I would legitimately build a base in the Nether to have a pet meat cube to say that.
I
I
love that.
want to make that happen now.
No, actually, funny enough, the biome I'm the best in is the Nether. Usually my warped forests, that's the place I like going the most. I don't know how I managed to survive because I also don't play Minecraft like everyone else. I don't ever really wear armor. So I get one shot pretty much instantly everywhere I go. So especially in the Nether, that's a danger. However,
Yeah.
I'm fine.
That's good.
Yeah, it works out somehow.
Hell yeah. So, okay. So you're pretty much triple threat. Writer, builder, Minecraft skin artist. Damn. just damn. One other thing that I do kind of want to talk about with Boxcraft is that so you also, besides being a writer and kind of like a leader within the project, you also help kind of manage it a little bit?
Yeah, technically I'm a what's called a content creator admin.
Yeah.
I'm one of, I want to say there's four of us, four or five of us, I don't fully remember.
So what is it like to be a content creator admin within a project?
It allows the admin team essentially to have a different insight as to how certain things will affect kind of their main goal, because Boxcraft has served as like a place of for streamers and their communities. Those of us who are like the founding creators were the first streamers to bring our communities in. I was technically the last of these first, but it was always this way for Boxcraft. It was always a safe place for content creators to bring their communities to have fun and play games together.
Play block game.
Play block game,
Play block game.
essentially. But being a CC admin, it means kind of being able to give feedback based on what we're seeing with our communities, what we're hearing from the community, and being able to kind of do a bit more of like the PR type thing of like helping people out if there's stuff going on. If, say, like we happen to be online and somebody comes in and immediately starts doing some bad stuff, we have like kind of the permissions to ban them, get rid of them, make sure that like any damage they do is undone. It also means having a bit more of a say in how the server moves forward in certain aspects. So say like a new game mode comes out on Boxcraft and it goes for like a week. At some point, the admins will turn to us and ask, "Hey, what are we thinking of this new game mode? What are your communities thinking?" To which all of us get to respond, "I haven't done this, but it looks really interesting, and I've heard people be excited," or, "I've played it, noticed a couple of these bugs, this, this, and this." It allows a lot more of like the like taking and receiving feedback. So the server's constantly kind of at that level that I know Dawn and Wade want it to be, which is really, really cool.
Hey. So
Yeah.
you guys are able to kind of have like this oh gosh, I don't know exactly how I want to phrase this, but like you guys are always kind of in this like back and forth communication of always like, okay, what can we do better? What like what if things are working? What things aren't? What's going right? What's going wrong? How can we like find a solution?
Yeah, the back and forth is super nice. It's also really cool because the admin team, all of us are friends. Like
Hey.
in the actual in scenarios, and I speak from like my own personal kind of take on things. I'm
Right.
always a level of business professional when it comes to talking about stuff that impacts things, especially since Boxcraft has a monetary value with cosmetics and stuff like that. Keeping in mind like that kind of stuff technically is business-esque. I always try to be civil. I always try to make sure that like everything is kept on that kind of profile. In Boxcraft, it doesn't have to be that way because we got lucky, all of us get along, all of us are friends, and all of us are adult enough to have a conversation with each other when we have problems, which is a big thing. You do not
Yes.
know how many projects like go down the drain because somebody just ends up being immature and doesn't want to talk about things that are going wrong. So it's the constant communication, and it's also just nice because it's we can talk about like business, we can talk about video games. Like, I played Valorant with Wade once. I didn't
Yo.
think that was a what sentence I'd ever say, but it happened. It was awesome. My computer almost exploded, but it was fine. Like, no,
Was
it wasn't correlated. It was because we were playing Valorant, they were on EU servers. Me being in America, I have an EU account. However, my computer doesn't like being on 120 something ping. So
Oh,
anytime I
fair.
tried to play, my desktop would
It gets a little
freeze.
angy.
Yeah. And then Casey was like, "I know I run a potato technically, and I've been screaming at myself to get a new graphics card, and I just haven't, because they're freaking expensive." But I'm sitting here just like, one day it's gonna explode and I'm not gonna be surprised. That's about all I can do.
Oh no. That's kind of
Like,
rude though.
the amount of jokes I said, like, "Look, if this doesn't happen, I'm throwing my PC off the like balcony of my building. Just gonna throw it or like throw it at a wall or something."
Just
I got too many
yeet
just genuinely. I will record me dropping it from like five stories up so people can see that I did it, finally.
Wait, if you ever get like a completely new PC or like a new tower and completely new like everything within it, you should do that with the old one. If, like if you're not attached and there's like nothing important in it.
For sure. I'll have to debate though, because also where I am, there is like a kind of PC community, so people will take like old spare parts and like put them in and stuff like that.
That's
So it
cool.
might be a case of like I would be able to donate it and let people like use it to learn how to build PCs.
Yo, that's sick.
But yeah, so if I end up getting a completely new set or like other stuff, like even if I just get the new graphics card, I'm pretty sure I can give my old graphics card to this community and they'll take it and do
Yo,
stuff. But yeah.
that's awesome.
It's super cool.
Okay, so we kind of talked about the like multi, well, not multi, but different projects involving a lot of different people, a lot of different levels. I do want to kind of focus on more of a storytelling aspect of content creation,
Yeah,
just
for
because
sure.
of the amount of storytelling and writing that you do. Just some a couple of different things that I kind of want to get your thoughts on. So within Fables, which is on Boxcraft, Fables has been able to do. Oh God, cat! Sorry,
Oh
my she likes to hop up on things and then she sends other things flying.
This broadcast has been interrupted by a cat.
Yes, so
It's
sorry.
fine.
So with Fables, the idea is that people from a bunch of different stories or universes or worlds are able to pull their characters or even stories into this one universe. From like a storytelling point of view, what has it been like to try to kind of like come up with this idea to be able to work out like, okay, yeah, we can do things in this sort of way so that everybody gets to have their spin on stuff and things don't, I don't know, maybe collide or clash. What was kind of the process of bringing all of these different stories into this one place?
It has been one of the most fun challenges so far, because it's been a lot of the case of how do you balance the individual versus the whole, right? So, like, again, back in Nations, a lot of this stuff was, Chaos and I had originally said, like, yeah, we're the ones being, like, we're gonna bring our stuff over to Fables, you guys are welcome to follow us. And a lot of people did. So a lot of people then look to the people who did that, how they're proceeding. And so a lot of the story right now is very centered around these past Nations characters, because it's the freshest story in people's minds, it's a lot of that kind of stuff. However, we've made it very clear this world doesn't work like Nations did.
Right.
These individual stories still have Nations in it, yes, but the world story, with how this entire universe works, is not Nations. It's been very interesting to try and draw that line between the one person versus the whole of the story, which is something we try to achieve in Nations as well. I just don't think we had enough time to do so. But from the personal perspective, at the moment, I have three to four characters in Nations, all of which from different SMPs, and one created as just a character that exists in Fables. These three characters all have different perspectives on the world. You have one character who essentially jumped different dimensions at one point and now landed here. You have another character who is used to being torn apart over and over and over again and has now ended up here. And you have a character who watched their whole world get destroyed by a corruption just to use it to end up here. They all think the world works differently, so their perspectives on what happens in the world are all going to be different, which I think is the coolest part about Fables. Yes. You will have so many different people reacting to so many different things, to the point that even one person will have different characters reacting in starkly different ways. Like, I forget who it is, somebody brought a D&D character into Minecraft.
Yo!
That is a completely different game, even. So, like, this is somebody who now is, like, operating, like, could you imagine bringing, like, a D&D character? Could you imagine just, like, you yourself waking up in Minecraft? The first thing you're gonna do is, why is everything a square?
Yes!
What is going on?
Why is but, block? Like, why is B square?
Genuinely, but, like, it's that kind of thing, like, you can use that. And, like, that moment of just, what am I doing here? Why am I not home? And create something completely new from that. Like, and the dungeons and stuff that are going to be brought in, and the fact that they can be tied to people's lore personally, it allows for, like, the little bit of, like, giving people's individual stories a spot, like, a chance in the spotlight as the overarching, while still making sure that, like, it's not their story. Their story is their story, the Fable story isn't. Fables is the story of all of us, which is really cool so far.
Yeah.
Freaking amazing. Such a cool project.
Very, very cool. Very, very excited for stuff coming out. And if you guys don't know about it, you should go check it out. It is really cool and also fun. I do want to kick off of what something that you had brought up, though. You have four different characters. To kind of take it a little bit away from the storytelling aspect, which I know I just said we're going to stick with for a little bit, but just because I want a sidebar.
Yep, go for it.
As kind of like a creator, what is it like having to play four different characters? Or like having to jump from one character to the next one with their different backgrounds and stories? Like, what is it like from a creator or even like a performer point of view? What is it like having those different kind of people that you have to kind of like jump into?
It is definitely difficult. I will mention that much. I, to give you a little bit of context, by the way, I have done theater, not necessarily professionally, but I've done it for, I want to say at least a decade. Whether it's been musicals or it's been straight shows or even writing my own shows, I have done theater. I have been double, triple casted in some ways. Which, for those who don't know what that means, it means one person playing two or three roles.
Yep.
And it's really tough, because it means you have to remember different people's lines, different stories, how different characters would react. Same way for this right now. I kind of luck out, because I've created rules for my characters that ensures it's a little bit easier to kind of migrate through.
Yeah.
But at some point, I do have plans in a separate series where the three characters are going to interact with each other. And that's going to be difficult because, first and foremost, I'm only one person. I only have one Minecraft account. It's hard to show all three characters at once because I can't be all three characters at once. Two other people would have to step in, or I'd have to use different camera angles and different perspectives to make it look like they're talking while I'm just filming the two sides myself. Something I'm working with Replay Mod. Replay Mod is a godsend, by the way. absolute godsend.
It's amazing.
But it's really interesting because I know I myself make everything super complicated. I love making complicated storylines because then so much can be revealed and people wouldn't know what it happened until it happened. So the rules and the guidelines created for the way these characters work, down to just their eye color. Like, that is an
Oh.
actual aspect that I've created for the different nomads. Their eye color is important. Nobody would guess that. You'd have to, like, be. You'd have to have them under a microscope. Like, that's the level of crazy you'd have to be to start thinking, oh, is this story? But I'm just that crazy. That's just kind of how I am.
Have to get like MatPat level theorists.
Exactly. Ironic, he's somebody I watch too much. That might be why I'm like this, but it's fine.
It's fine. We love MatPat. It's
We
fine.
love MatPat.
His
I've been
content's
watching the FNAF
great.
theories. It's fine.
Yes. I totally haven't been watching his content since high school. It's fine.
It's totally not like my chat has been
Totally.
ruined since 2011. Anyway.
Yes.
But yeah, the jumping back and forth, it's all about knowing the characters as well as you can. Like, everyone's got that one character that they've watched either in like a movie or a TV show or in a book or in a YouTube series or something. But one character where you're like, this character's awesome. I want to know everything about that character. So you go through and you figure out, oh, I remember this character's birthday is this, or like this character likes to do this, this, and this. That personal, like, kind of like information relationship, I suppose, with characters is kind of what's helping me keep up with the individual, like three that I've got so far.
Ooh.
They're all so different. But they're all important. They were all important in their own stories. They're all still important in Fables. Actually, do you mind if I divulge a little bit into each character?
Go for it.
Okay, so the three main characters we've got. The first character that was introduced, or is going to be introduced, is a character named Azur. Azur came from this first SMP that I mentioned a bit ago. This character is the epitome of they made me a monster, so that's what I am. This character went
Ah.
through a lot of horrendous stuff. They were tested on in a laboratory. They lost their family. They were forced different places. And as a final ditch effort to try and save everyone, everything they had forgotten came crashing down on them, which kind of turned them into, they led them down a villain path. However, what you're going to learn is that if you were in that situation where you forgot everything and then in an instant all that pain and confusion came back to you, you're not going to act logically. And that's what this character is exploring. The second character to be introduced is a character named Runic. Runic came from an event server, and the whole idea of this character was they were built incorrectly. They were made of this material and they were slowly dying.
Oh.
And every time they died, they'd be reborn in another place, or they were dragged to another place. It's happened twice now. Once being into that event, and once being into Fables. They think that their life is running on a ticking clock, always, and they are not going to get to do anything to the finish because they're stuck in, like, kind of this loop where they can't do anything because they're just going to go.
Dying.
Exactly. They're now exploring
Whoa.
the idea of, I'm done letting this time control me. Whatever this thing is that's saying I'm going to disappear, you're running on my time now. That is what that character is
Yo.
exploring. The third character is a character named Kane. Kane was from Nations. Kane was the leader of Decora. They're the only character out of the three who has watched their family, the people that they like cared about, die in front of them. It happened in their first kingdom with the old king. It happened in Nations with their best friend, being Prince Newton, and their apprentice being Rose. They're very timid to make those relationships again. They don't want to be a leader anymore because they feel like they failed. But as they move forward, they're going to realize a leader is not something that's made, it's something that's somewhat born to be. Whether they like it or not, they have these qualities of being a leader. It would be a waste of them to let it go. That's a big thing too. And each of these characters from their original stories also had this like main story to tell. Azula was the story of the martyr, a person who would die for their cause, essentially. Runic was the story of the subordinate. They were somebody who believed their life didn't matter as long as they were serving someone. And Cain was the story of survivor's guilt. They were the one person who remembered what happened. They were the only one who was feeling that pain, and they didn't want to give it to anyone else. They felt like they shouldn't be there because they were the last thing remaining from this bad thing. So now those three are all in this new world and getting to explore this new kind of storyline. I'm not sure what their overarching thing's going to be yet, but right now it's getting them out of their old and into the new.
That's awesome. Damn. Okay, so if you guys didn't have a reason to check out Fables before, you do now.
You definitely should.
You
Fables is really
should.
cool.
That is really cool. Ah,
Thank
and
you.
there's so many people a part of Fables as well. So many amazing stories, just like these three. Go check it out. Ah, Boxcraft, Fables, do it.
Yes, absolutely. Do check it out.
Yes.
Check out anyone who's going live for it. Check out anybody who's like written anything about it.
Yeah.
Do it.
It's gonna be very fun.
Absolutely.
To kind of go back to the aspect of storytelling, something that I kind of wanted to bring it toward more of a broader sense and talk about it with content creation, not just like what we've done with Nations or what's been done with Fables, but I wanted to talk about, especially with you, and because of the fact that you've done these projects and been a part of these things and other things that you've done, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on kind of the power of storytelling and how that can still come across through content creation, like how it can still find a way to come across through this avenue that I don't think people originally thought it could.
For sure. Storytelling, a big misconception, I guess, for storytelling is that it has to be written. It has to be told by mouth. It has to be this big grandiose thing with this big message. That's not the case. Every instance is a story. Every moment, every memory is a story where you learned something. And in content creation, that's huge. Like, if you're playing in an event, let's say, whether it's like just a mini game event or something, and you have this one moment that's really, really cool, that feeling that you have, that's gonna stick with you. That memory's gonna stick with you. And then maybe a week later, you're telling that story. A lot of people take, at least I know from my experience, a lot of people take their past experiences and make them into their stories. They put a piece of themselves into what they say, into what they create. And I think another cool thing is it takes so many different mediums. The big one we've seen just in our communities itself has been Minecraft. Whether it's been through S&P styled stuff, whether it's just been through like shorts and stuff like that's been where a lot of storytelling has been found. But that's losing out on so many other aspects of storytelling. Like, Mira has done different, like, small little aspects with their art, right? They've created like different art panels for the characters to tell their story. Anybody who's created an animatic for a character has told a story, whether it's an event that happened or a headcanon you have. Edits technically tell stories. Teasers tell stories without like even showing anything. Just anything has the potential to tell a story or to introduce a story. The message is what you take from it. That's just a principle of art. Art is in the eye of the beholder, like beauty. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so is art. What you take from something is completely yours and yours alone to take from it. Which is a really cool thing that we have now with this whole aspect of storytelling. It can take any medium, it can reach any audience. As long as it's out there. Which is pretty cool if I do say so myself.
I'd say, yeah. That was like the sorry, I was just sitting there like listening because that was a really good like explanation. And
Thank
I'm
you.
really dude, of course. Ah, that's awesome. Cause like it's true. It's true. Like there are so many different things and like if say that you're a streamer. Like, you get to experience that, or like, you get to show that moment, and people get to experience that live. It's like if you were going to a concert or to a play or a musical, like, people see that in the moment, and then they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God! And
exactly.
Even if it's like a recorded video, people are watching it, and then they're like, oh, whoa, whoa, wait, they just did that, they just did that! Like, in the moment, still, with something that's on a screen, it can still come across. Those emotions, that story, everything can still come across.
Yeah, for sure. And even then, like, that's even in video games. Outside of that, too, is still storytelling. Like, so anybody who's done a just chatting stream,
yes,
talking about their own stuff, that is all storytelling. Whether you think it or not, you're telling stories to your stream. You're engaging in conversations. Those are stories. I've done a couple of just chatting streams myself, and I pride myself on being somebody who, if my community ever has a question, especially about something like the LGBTQIA, or about starting stream, or about things like anxiety and such like that, I will be open with the stories that I've heard or that I've lived through. Share those stories with the community, obviously keeping in mind things like TOS, along with triggers, making sure people are comfortable with the things I'm saying.
Yeah.
But sharing that background and that information in hopes of teaching the people. Right. In hopes of that one person who maybe feels like they're alone or feels like they don't understand or that nobody can help them, hears that story and connects it to themselves. Takes that part that sounds familiar and realizes they can move forward connecting back.
Yeah.
It's the big thing of, like, if that one person can hear that message and realize they're from okay. That moment they're okay and they are not alone, you could have just saved someone's life. You could have just changed someone's life for the better. You could have convinced that person to do something they never thought they were going to do. You could help that person achieve greatness, achieve the most incredible things they are ever going to achieve, just because for one moment, they realized they weren't alone. They realized they weren't doing this weird thing that nobody else would ever understand or ever do. They're not alone. They're not the only ones. And there's so much confidence that comes in the fact that you're not alone.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And that just, it comes back to the, you're being willing to tell that story, being willing to share your experience. So that way the person living through what you lived through recognizes it's okay to live through it and they're gonna get out of it.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean,
it's amazing.
I love talking about this stuff. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I completely get it. It's great stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and it's really cool, kind of like the connections that you can also make, like, with your audience within content creation.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I have, like, these random little core memories whenever, yeah, like, it's about certain people, about certain things. Like, there's one core memory that always exists. It's just the most random interaction. I was building a barn because I wanted to include people who couldn't join on the server because it was Java only. I created the Bedrock barn. And somebody in my chat was like, hey, that's not how you build a barn. I was like, okay, well, I'm building this barn. And he kept saying, hey, you should do this. Hey, do that. Hey, check this. And I was like, okay, a part of me could time you out, but you're also probably just like, you're probably just fine. I'm not going to do it. That person is now my mod and a best friend of a year.
Yo!
it's those random interactions. Like, obviously, if people are annoying you, you have every right to,
yes,
block them. Definitely. And, like, get them out of your stream.
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut. It was just one of those moments where my gut was telling me, don't do it. Maybe they're annoying me right now.
But maybe later.
But maybe later. Like, or maybe it's just going to be after this barn. I'm gonna get this barn done. I'll get the barn done and then maybe they'll chill out. And they did. They became my mom.
I love that. Yeah.
It's great.
They were the villain until they got the barn. They got what they bargained for.
They got the barn. They then got on the server and rebuilt the barn. But they got the barn.
Oh, goodness.
And now they're a good friend of mine and a mod.
Hell yeah. It's awesome. We love that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So kind of taking things down more of a content creator side of conversation. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the current situations and issues that are happening among Twitch, Kick, and other streaming platforms? Because there's kind of
Yeah,
is
there's
blown
kind of,
up.
it's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot. It's always been something that I've also had to be hyper aware of too. Even back like a couple, I think back like a year ago. Actually, do you remember when PNG tubers were getting like essentially like hunted down
Yes.
because everyone liked to hate on PNG tubers?
Yeah.
Around this time was also when I started introducing my PNG and also when I started doing TikTok. So immediately seeing this, I realized I could be threatened because people at the time being like Red Velvety, Frost Fox, Fizzy Sodas, Jelly Bean were getting harassed, doxxed, threatened on a daily basis. It became a dangerous world to live in. It became a dangerous case of like, I could move forward, but if I continue, am I going to be safe?
Am I at risk?
Am I at risk too? So obviously I was able to keep going and manage to be okay and where I am now. But just it's always been just one heck of like absolute madness. And now with especially with what's happened with Twitch, which I did end up reading through a bunch of it, because a lot of my other creator friends broke it down and like kind of dissected it in a bunch of stuff. It's not just what they put out, it's the fact that they rescinded it after seeing the backlash on Twitter.
Yep.
That's the thing that really throws me for a loop. Why did it take the backlash on Twitter for them to
To
rethink it?
change something,
You know?
if they knew
Like, it's
there
a
was an
case of.
issue.
Like, and also learning about, obviously, I'm not a Twitch partner, but learning that Twitch partners have ambassadors and direct ways to contact and talk with Twitch as a whole, why wouldn't Twitch use that set? Like, why wouldn't they go down a path of like they have direct connections into a huge atmosphere? Why not talk with them? Why
Yeah.
not see what they find smart? Why not run ideas past them? Even just like grab like a select few and get their feedback. Why did it take a huge scandal on a social media site for things to implode and people to threaten switching and canceling contracts and such like that for them to realize we made a mistake, we're doing this? Like, because in those like 2 days before they rescinded stuff, the amount of like public statements and jokes and things made by organizations, huge content creators, even just the smaller atmosphere that like we're familiar with, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then it was rescinded and it's still being talked about. Because so much of Twitch, like, there are people who depend on it for like, as like a job. There are people who depend on it as like a connection type thing. There are
Creative
people who
outlet.
it's creative outlets. It means a lot to so many people and it's being run in such a bizarre way. I don't want to say it's poor because I don't know too much like on the inside. I just know from what I'm seeing, it is becoming more of a struggle to convince people to stream on Twitch.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because like, and also the big thing I think for a while has been like the Twitch streaming versus YouTube streaming. I think this also dates back to when Ludwig switched too.
Oh, yeah.
You learn that like the way their atmospheres are so different, like the things they offer are so different.
The
But it's a
tools.
case of Twitch doesn't seem to value the streamers as much as they should. Because yes, they take a cut of like all that we make and such like that, right? They're actively really making money. But giving back to us, right? You'd think at like obviously this is in a like a in a utopia-esque world, corporations would give back to the people who are making sure they can stay where they are, making
Yeah,
sure like that their bank
they're
checks go
running.
through and such. Exactly. But from the way that it looks right now, Twitch is so disconnected. It seems like it's just a completely distant island on its own.
Yeah, it does. It
The amount of
definitely,
people.
the vibe of it has changed.
Oh, for sure. And the amount of people that I've talked to have been like, yeah, you know, I might switch to YouTube, or like, I think I might just stop doing content creation as a whole, or I might just switch to videos instead of doing streamed content. It's ridiculous.
It's
And it's a
sad.
case of like, we feel like, exactly, we feel like that outlet is being torn from us because we're in a platform that doesn't seem to support us, that doesn't seem to want us to succeed, to want us to even try.
Yeah.
Which is really tough. Like, speaking as somebody who's like considered now switching to YouTube streaming, I haven't looked into it too much because I still have somewhat faith, especially with the rescinded, I want to see what comes next in Twitch. But if things keep going down this path, Twitch is going to end up losing a
They're,
lot of possibility.
yes, they're gonna end up losing way more than they bargained for, and I don't think that they're gonna get it back. Like, there's n little chance in my mind that they would be able to get their shit together to pull it around and then get people to come back again to trust them again after time and time and time of just
You know what it is?
throwing everything in the trash.
It's like Twitch is that toxic ex.
No!
It's like it does the one thing and it's like, oh, but
I'll
babe, come back.
change.
I've changed. I've become a different person. Look at how much I've changed for you. And then you walk into the house and everything's the same. How many times do you expect us to believe and say, of course I still love you? Like to further that thing. You can only get hurt so many times before a part of you clicks or a part of you breaks.
Yeah.
So it's gonna get to a case where content creators are either gonna be like, no, I'm not coming back to Twitch, I'm doing this, or content creators will be like, you know what, screw it, I'm done.
It's and
And that's heartbreaking.
it's ridiculously sad that that is the reality. This is it's literally it never had to get to this point.
Yes, seriously.
is how I think of it in my mind. Like, I know that they were bought by Amazon, and I know that that has a bit of its own tie-in with it, but like you still like this platform was able to succeed not only because of the tools that it offered, but because of the audience, and they're driving that away. And if they do that, if they drive away the original audience and everybody that kind of loved it and cherished it and made it up to the thing that it is, then it's gonna die. That's kind of
Yeah.
my view on it. Like, it's gone. It's gonna be the next Vine, pretty much, but streaming.
Genuinely, like in context of streaming as well, like most of us, small streamers to large streamers, we always thank our audience. We always say
Yeah.
thank you for subs, for bits, even for just being there as like even if it's just like the one viewer, you thank that viewer for showing up. You thank the people who support you for being there. You thank your sponsors. You thank anybody who like makes art for you, who does emotes, who creates branding. You thank everyone who gets you your success. Twitch doesn't seem to realize that. They're gonna lose that success because of it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be crazy. I'm gonna hope somebody wakes up over there and is like, hey, maybe we should give back a little, but only time will tell for that.
That's true. I did have a second part to the question was do you have any hopes for what platforms might do in the upcoming months? But
We kind of covered
we
it.
kind of covered
I'm
that.
curious, what I am curious to see is the migration, right? People have said, like, oh, I'm going to YouTube, I'm going to Twitch, I'm going to this third-party system. People have been very clearly doing that. I'm curious, because it seems to be Twitch and YouTube, if YouTube's gonna say anything. I doubt they will, because professionally they have no real room to comment on how other
Yeah.
businesses are doing it. I'm curious if, like, the behind closed doors, if someone does switch over, what does YouTube think? What do they say? Other than, like, this is an opportunity for them to get money. Will that change the way they run things? Will that change how they view and like offer things to other streamers? It's a
Yeah.
curious world at the moment because it's what's a loss. It's like one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah.
This is about to become YouTube's treasure trove if
Oh my
things
God,
continue
yeah.
this way. And in that case, are they going to take it for granted? Are they going to be able to continue with this mass wealth
Are
kind of thing?
they going to be able to give the streaming community w the tools that like we've been asking
Yeah.
to keep? 'Cause
Will
like
they be able to continue giving their tools, or are they going to fall under the path of Twitch?
yeah.
I guess.
I don't think that they would ever fall under the same path that Twitch is, just because of stuff that is kind of happening with it. But I do think that it could definitely get to it could get to people's heads, and then it could very easily end up badly, and then streamers would kind of be screwed again, or we
Yeah,
would
and then
have
he's
no
like, well, what's
platform.
this next part? What's the next
Yeah, what's
platform?
the next one?
Are we
Let's
TikTok
go
living?
here.
What's going on here?
TikTok living? Are we Instagram labbing this shit? What are we
Am
doing?
I Facebook gaming right now?
Am I
But
Facebook gaming? Oh God.
yeah.
I do hope that like something could come about from this in a good way. And like that's the thing, like what would happen if there was just this huge influx from Twitch, like this mass exodus from Twitch toward YouTube? Would they do anything? Like, would there be like this huge streaming update that they would like either do or prepare, or would they even do anything? I mean, they do have streaming tools, but I know like there's a good amount of people that don't switch over to YouTube for streaming because they either lack some of the tools that Twitch does, reasons or of some other reason or whichever. So like, are they going to change to accommodate for that? Are they going to do anything? And really, like, it's a wild time in content creation.
Oh, absolutely. The big thing I know for
Everything's
streaming,
on fire.
seriously, everything is on fire. We're the ones saying this is fine
Bring a
for
bucket.
now.
For now,
If
we're
you have
okay.
a fire extinguisher, bring it. If not, grab some marshmallows, boys.
Bring the weenie dogs.
Yeah, seriously, might as well enjoy it while
The
it's there.
Jiffy Pop.
Dude. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Absolutely.
Especially on the YouTube side.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see what content creators themselves kind of choose as well. All right, so we are getting close to about an hour. I do have just two last questions for you, but first I do want to
Yeah,
thank
no
you
worry.
so much for your time and for
Yeah.
hopping on to talk about all this stuff. It's been really awesome so far. I've
Yeah,
loved
this
this
has been a blast.
conversation.
It's been great.
Yeah, let's go. That's
It's so sick.
the hope. Let's go,
Let's
baby.
go. We did it.
We did it. It's like the Dora. We did it. We did it. Yeah, promise you, mom. We did
Oh
it.
my God.
Oh no, if my parents ever hear this episode and hear me singing that, they're gonna gross the crap out of me. But I don't care. It's fine.
It's
To
fine.
end this out, I want to ask two last things. Are there any future projects or ideas that you kind of want to shout out or talk about the process of setting them up so far or kind of creating them? Anything going on coming up for you, let's say within the summer? Anything that you're excited about that you'd want to share?
At the moment, the big thing happening right now has been Boxcraft Fables, which we talked a lot
Yeah!
about. But there's a lot coming on, at least from my aspect. A lot of my Boxcraft stuff is also going to be through YouTube and teasers and stuff like that. Teasers, trailers, videos. A lot of cool stuff that's going to hopefully be on multiple platforms. So if you start with Fables, keep an eye on everything else because that stuff's just cool.
Yeah.
As far as other projects through the summer goes, I'm actually gone for like 3 weeks of this upcoming summer. My
Ooh.
partner's coming down, and we're gonna get to go hang out and do a bunch of cool stuff. But
Yo.
it's been a lot of cool stuff of just getting to not only work on my own stuff, but work on other people's projects. So definitely huge shout out to Boxcraft Fables, Boxcraft in general. Whether you're a streamer who's looking for a place to go, whether you're a viewer looking for new streamers and a place that you want to call home, Boxcraft is the place to be. It is amazing. It's got an incredible community with very receptive and like well-informed people running the show, people who are willing to listen to you and your concerns to make the server better, and other community members and streamers alike who just want to hang out with you, who would love to like just shoot
Facts.
the breeze, play some games, hang out, just
Yeah.
have fun. So yeah, keeping an eye on Boxcraft Fables as well, the streamers, the builders, the mods, everybody who's a part of that. Huge shout out that way. Definitely something to check out.
Yeah.
For
Very, very awesome people on this project. And then
sure.
one last question to kind of round everything off. I kind of want to get your advice for anyone that's just starting out, either with storytelling, writing, trying to lead a bigger project, starting content creation, just any advice that you would give to someone starting fresh or just starting.
Yeah, for sure. As far as projects and like personal stuff goes, my advice has always been the same. I've gotten this question a couple of times actually through my own streams. My advice has always been, whatever you do it for yourself first. A lot of people will chase trends. A lot of people will do things that they don't enjoy but do it because they think that's the fastest way for them to get popular. And sure, sometimes it's successful. But then you're stuck doing something that you don't enjoy for people who don't want to see you do anything but the thing you don't enjoy. Whatever you're doing, whatever you want to do it for yourself, do it for you to enjoy. Because as you're enjoying it, as you're spreading that kind of positivity from yourself, people will end up finding you. People will end up enjoy seeing you enjoy things or enjoy the things you enjoy. And then you're fostering a community, you're fostering a group of people that share these common interests, these common like traits as you. So not only are you going to slowly but surely kind of make your way, you're going to enjoy it so much more. So no matter what, do it for you first. That's my advice.
Yeah. And that it's true though, 'cause you will be miserable and get burnt out so quick, and then
Seriously.
it's not a good feeling. Just don't.
No.
Say screw it and do the thing you love, god dang it.
Do the thing you enjoy.
Yeah. Okay. Nomad. Dude, thank you so much for joining on this episode today. This was an awesome time, an awesome
Yeah, of course. Thank
conversation.
you for having me. This has been awesome.
Anytime, seriously. For those of you that want to go check out Nomad stuff, you definitely should, especially for those really cool fables and story stuff coming out. They're an awesome writer. It was a pleasure to work with them during the Ending of Nations, and I hope to work with them again. But go check them out on twitch.tv/nomadoftheworld or twitter.com/nomadoftheworld. They're most active on those two sites, and they are very cool. If you guys
Heck yeah.
are, yeah, if you guys are looking to check out more episodes of the Unmasked podcast, you can do so on the podcast website, which is hosted through Podbean, or you can also find it on Google Podcasts, Podbean app, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Listen Notes, Samsung Podcasts, and I also post them on YouTube. So thank you guys so much for hanging out and listening to our conversation for today. It was definitely a blast. Nomad, again, thank you for everything. And we shall
Of
catch you
course.
all next time. Say goodbye, Nomad!
Goodbye, everybody!
Goodbye!